B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Yud Zayin. We're going to start six lines from the bottom of Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Dorash Rav Nachman Mishum Rabbeinu Shmuel. And just to get back into the sugya we learned at the end of the previous shiur on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis was discussing when a person circles an area with a weak type of wall. It's halachically weak type of wall. A regular wall should be a solid wall. If not solid, at least shesi v'erev, made of uprights and horizontal pieces, with lovud, with less than three tvachim between each upright and between each horizontal part, and that makes a solid wall, a solid mechitza. If a person uses only shesi or only erev, only uprights or only horizontal ropes or strings or pieces of wood, wherever they are, then the Chachomim, according to some, the Chachomim had certain restrictions to when you're allowed to use such a wall. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbeinu Shmuel, Yochid, an individual person who used such a type of a weak wall to encircle himself when he's in an open field, Noisnim Leibes Sosaim, we give him the area that one can sow in it two saw of produce, which is 100 amos by 50 amos. That's what we assume that a regular single person, that's the type of area that would serve such a person. Now, does it mean that that's how much he needs for his kalim, for his utensils, to put things down, for his usages? Not necessarily. It could be he uses less. It could be that he needs more. Either way, that's all we give him. We give him a base or saim. That's what we assume per head. That's what he needs. That's the type of area he would use for his own uses. Base, if you have two people in such an area, noistim lem base or saim. We give them the same shiur as we saw, base or saim, between them. Gimel, if you have three people, then it's already called a crowd, a rabim, nasu shayora, then it's called they're already a caravan, and their needs are even greater, and therefore between them, noisnim lem base sheish. We give them the area of six sosaim, six so, which is, even though we don't double the area if there's two people, we do triple it if there's three. That was what Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbeinu Shmuel. Asks the Gemara, Shavkus Rabbonon v'ovdus k'Rav Yosi ber Yehuda? Are you neglecting the opinion of the Chachomim and taking on and ruling like Rav Yosi ber Yehuda? Because we saw in the Gemara before that only according to Rav Yosi ber Yehuda you give two saw to one or two people and six saw for three people. According to the Chachomim, even for a single person we give them as much as they need. Answers the Gemara, it was common in those days to appoint a type of, not a translator, but a speaker to speak on his behalf. So Rav Nachman appointed somebody to speak on his behalf and say as follows, V'dorash, as follows, Dvorim sh'omarati lifneichem, this that I ruled and I told what I said to you, Tol sein b'yodi, they were a mistake. Barom, the truth is, kach omru, this is what they said. Yochid noisnim loy beis osaim. If it's one person, they get two so. Shnayim, two people, noisnim lem beis osaim. Again, you give them two so. Shloisha nasu shayora, and this is what's changed. What's changed is not with one or two people, we'll soon see why. What's changed is with three people. Beforehand, he said that if there's three people, you give them six so. Now he's saying no. Noisnim lem kol tzorkon, you give them whatever they need. That's what's changed, and according to the Chachomim, indeed, that's the halacha, that a shayora, you give them kol tzorkom. Now, the real truth is that according to the Chachomim, even a yochid, you give them kol tzorkom, but when it's for a yochid, for a single person, or for two people, we'll soon see why, but Rav Nachman there did follow the opinion of Rabbi Yosi ber Yehuda. Asks the Gemara, Reisha Rabbi Yosi ber Yehuda, regarding one person or two people, where you give them beis osayim, there you're following Rabbi Yosi ber Yehuda, v'sefer rabbonon, and only regarding three people, you're following the rabbonon that you give them kol tzorkom, Says the Gemara, in, yes. Mishum dekoi avua b'shitosi. Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Yehuda was the son of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda also held that with one person or two people, you give them just two saw. Since Rabbi Yehuda and his son Rabbi Yosi both held that regarding individuals, you only give them two saw, the halacha is two saw. Regarding Shayora, regarding three people, there we do not follow Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Yehuda that said six saw. And Rabbi Yehuda himself actually followed the Chachomim regarding Shayora, that you give them kol tzorkom. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rav Gidl, Omar Rav. It was said in the name of Rav, Shloisha b'chomesh asurin b'sheva mutorin. And this is now following the opinion of the Chachomim, that Shloisha you give them kol tzorkom. But it was said in the name of Rav, an interesting few words, that b'chomesh asurim, there are certain cases where giving a person, where encircling an area of five saw for three people, and it will be osa to carry them. B'sheva mutorin. But it could be there's a case when you encircle an area of seven saw and mutorin, it will be mutter to carry them. Omrule, Omar Rav Hochi, they said to Rav Gidl, could Rav possibly have said such a thing? Omar Luhu, he said, I promise you in the name of Oraisa Navi Uksuvi, the Tanakh, Teru Navi Uksuvim, the Omar Rav Hochi, that Rav did say this. And Omar Rav Ashi said, my Kashi, I'll explain it to you, what's so difficult to understand? Dil Mahochi Koma, this is what he meant, this is what he said. Hutzur Chulashesh, if what they needed for their own utensils, for their uses, if they only needed, or if they did need six, Vehikifoi B'sheva, and they surrounded an area of seven, afilu b'sheva mutorin. Because what did the Chachomim actually say? The Chachomim said that you give them kol tzorkon on condition that you don't have two saw, which is unnecessary. That was the Loshon of the Chachomim. The Chachomim said, v'chachomim oimrim, on daf tezayin omad beis, echod yochid ve'echod chayora, noisnim lem kol tzorkon, ubilvad shelo yehei beis osayim ponui, on condition that you haven't encircled the area with more than two saw, which is a very significant area, it's an area that typically a person could make use of. As long as you don't have that area ponui, empty, which that means that amount of area that you don't need. If you have that amount of area that you don't need, then you're not allowed to carry in the whole area. And the reason is, as we said, since that area, if it's not a usable area, you're not allowed to carry there. And anything that's open to an area, you're not allowed to carry, and you're not allowed to carry in the whole area. So even if you needed five and you encircled seven, since the remaining two you don't need, and it's a significant area, you're not allowed to carry there, and therefore you're not allowed to carry in the whole area. If they needed to use six, v'kifui sheva, and they encircled seven, afila b'sheva mutorin, you can use all seven. Loi hutzrichu elo l'chomesh, if you only needed five, v'kifui b'sheva, and you encircled seven, afila b'chomesh asurin, even the five that you needed, you're not allowed to use, you're not allowed to carry there. Asks the Gemara, v'elohodik tonyo v'lvad shelo yehei beis asayim ponui, my love ponui mi'odom? And here the Gemara means, when it says ponui mi'odom, the measure of what the type of area that typically could be used and is needed by a person is beis asayim. That's clear, not more, not less. However, the amount of area needed for the utensils, the tzrochim of a person, the area that you need to put your things down, that could differ. One person could need less, somebody else could need more. So what we're saying now is that when we said before, we said that if you have three people, a shayora, noislim kol tzorkom. What's called kol tzorkom? Till now we thought, at least two, or not at least, we thought it meant that you give them two saw per person. At least two saw per person, if not less, if not more. Kol tzorkon might mean all their needs. Even if they need more, we give them more. But at least two saw per person. So how can you say that if between the three people you only need five, and you are makif for seven, you're not allowed to carry there, but six saw for three people is the minimum that person needs? So why are you saying if they only need five and you are makif for seven that you're not allowed to carry there? Says the Gemara, no, you misunderstood me. Loi, loi. That's not what I meant. Ponui mikelim. When the Chachomim said you mustn't have two saw empty, they didn't mean two saw beyond two saw per person, per head. No. Two saw beyond what you actually need for your kelim. So if even though technically speaking every head could do with two saw, if these three people together only needed five saw for their kelim, then you have two saw which is not necessary for kelim. If you have two saw that's not being used by the kelim, by utensils, in any way, the Chachomim say you're not allowed to carry in the whole area. Continues the Gemara. Itmar. And now we're discussing what happens if when Shabbos came in, at the onset of Shabbos, there was X amount of people, and then something changed with the number of people on Shabbos. For example, if you only had two people when Shabbos came in, then if you circled more than two saw, we have a problem. As we saw before, if there's one or two people, you're only allowed to use two saw. What happens if a third person came on Shabbos? If you encircled it with more than two saw, you're not allowed to use the area. And then a third person joined you on Shabbos. Does that now become mutter to use the whole area? Or in the other case, you had three, and then one disappeared on Shabbos. So all the while you had three, you could use six saw, or you could use kol tzorkom. And now suddenly you're down to two, and for two, you're only allowed to use two saw altogether. Are you now no longer allowed to use the large area? That's what the Gemara is going to ask now. Shloishoy, if when Shabbos came in, there were three people, umeis echod mehen, and on Shabbos, one of them died. Or Shnayim, when Shabbos came in, they only had two people, v'nisvasu aleihem, and on Shabbos, a third person came in. There was a machlekes of Huna and Rav Yitzchok. Chad Omar, and we'll soon see this is Rav Huna. Rav Huna holds Shabbos goyremes. When Shabbos came in, that's what the determining point is. If you had three when Shabbos came in, irrespective of whether that number goes down or not, you can use the entire area on Shabbos. If you only had two people when Shabbos came in, you can only use a small area, irrespective of if more people came on Shabbos. V'chad Omar and Rabbi Yitzchok holds the urin gurmin. It depends at every given moment how many residents you have there. You have two residents, you're only allowed to use a small area. You have three residents, you're allowed to use a larger area. Tistayim Rav Huna hu da Omar Shabbos Geremes. We're going to bring a proof that it's Rav Huna that says that it's the onset of Shabbos that decides for the whole Shabbos. Da Omar Rabba, Boyim mi Rav Huna. Rabba says, I asked Rav Huna. Uboyim mi Rav Yehuda, I also asked from Rav Yehuda. Irev derech haPesach. If you have two chatzeres and you want to carry from one chotzer to the next, then one of the conditions that you're allowed to carry from one chotzer to the next is that the passage between one chotzer and the next is actually a pesach. It's a significant opening. So if you had two chatzeres with a significant opening, a pesach in between, and you did an eruv between the two chatzeres, v'nistam haPesach, and something happened on Shabbos and the doorway became blocked up, a mound fell in front of it, a wall fell down, whatever it was, you can now no longer use this opening. Derech hachaloin, v'nista machaloin, or if the significant opening was not a doorway, it was a significant sized window, and the window got blocked over Shabbos, mahu, are you still allowed to carry from one chotzer to the next via some insignificant opening based on the eruv that you made because of the significant openings when Shabbos came in? Or do you say no? You say, since now those significant openings are no longer there, the eruv is void, and you're not allowed to carry from one chotzer to the next. V'omer li, and Rav Huna told me, Shabbos hoil v'hutra hutra. Since at the onset of Shabbos this was a good eruv, and you're allowed to carry from one chotzer to the next for the whole Shabbos. So you see, it's Rav Huna who holds that the onset of Shabbos is what determines for the entire Shabbos. So too in our case, the amount of people that were in this area at the onset of Shabbos determines the halachic status and how, where and how much you're allowed to carry for the entire Shabbos, even if the numbers change over Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Leima Rav Huna We saw there was one machlokes. Rav Huna says that Shabbos is geirim. Rav Yitzchok says diurin, the number of residents at any given point on Shabbos is geirim. Maybe they are arguing in exactly the same machlokes as a machlokes tanoim. Ditnan we learnt in a Mishnah. We're going to see this on Daf Tzadik Dalet. Chotza shenifritzom mishtei ruchoyseh. If for whatever reason a chotza, which was a kosher chotza to carry in when Shabbos came in, and a corner, two of its walls became damaged on Shabbos, and technically speaking, this chotza is no longer a chotza that you can carry in on Shabbos. But when Shabbos came in, it was okay. V'chein bayis, or similarly a home, shenifritzom mishtei ruchoyisov, where a corner or two of its walls got damaged on Shabbos, v'chein movui, shenitlo koyroisov oylechoyov, or a mavui that you, when Shabbos came in, it had a lechi or koira, and they got taken away during Shabbos. Mutarin la'oisa Shabbos, v'asurin la'osid lavoi. That Shabbos, this is Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Shabbos, you're allowed to use the home, you're allowed to use the chotzer, you're allowed to carry in the mavui. The next week, not, because when Shabbos came in next week, you don't have the mount, the right walls, you don't have what you need. But for this Shabbos, it's muta. Rabbi Yisya argues and says, "Im mutarin la'isa Shabbos, mutarin la'asid lavoi." I don't understand. Are these walls okay now? Good enough for this week? Then use them next week as well. V'masurin la'asid lavoi. And since it's clear to us that you're not allowed to use this area another week for next week because the walls that you need to be able to carry in have been destroyed, asurin la'isa Shabbos, then it's also this Shabbos as well. Who cares that when Shabbos came in, it was okay. When Shabbos came in, the walls were fixed. And now they're not. That is what Rabbi Yossi holds. So the Gemara says, we're taking it for granted that Rav Huna, who says Shabbos goyremes, the number of people in this enclosure when Shabbos comes in, determines for the whole Shabbos, he is holding like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that mutarin la'isa Shabbos, that even though the walls, the structure of the home, the eruv of the mavui, got ruined over Shabbos, nonetheless, for that Shabbos you can use it. And Rav Huna is not going to hold of Rabbi Yossi. Rav Yitzchok, who says that diurin goyremin, the number of residents at any given moment is the deciding factor, he holds that every moment has to have its own halachas. And therefore he is following Rabbi Yossi, who says that if the walls broke on Shabbos, from this point on you can no longer rely on those walls that no longer exist. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. And whenever the Gemara says lemeke tanoi, we don't like it so much because we don't want one Amoira to be holding like one of two Tanoim. We'd rather that every Amoira can follow both Tanoim, or at least doesn't have to follow just one Tanoim. We certainly don't want a Machlekas Amiroim being identical to Machlekas Tanoim. Says the Gemara, no. I can show you how Rav Huna can even hold like Rabbi Yossi. That means even though Rav Huna holds that the number of people in this enclosure is determined when Shabbos comes in, nonetheless he'll agree to Rabbi Yossi that when the walls fall down, you cannot rely on it even that Shabbos. And I'll show you how even Rabbi Yitzchok, who holds that the number of residents at any point on Shabbos is a deciding factor, he'll agree that regarding those walls that fall down, since when Shabbos came in, you were allowed to carry in that area, you can carry there the whole Shabbos. Let's see this inside. Initially, we assume Rav Huna can only follow Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yitzchok can only follow Rabbi Yossi. Says the Gemara, no, Omalachor Rav Huna. Rav Huna can answer you as follows. Anod de Omri afilu l'Rabbi Yossi. I, Rav Huna, who say Shabbos goyremes, I could hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that when Shabbos comes in, that's what determines. I could hold like him, but I could even hold like Rabbi Yossi. Ad kan loika om Rabbi Yossi. When did Rabbi Yossi say that when some walls of a home or a chotzer or the koir of a lechi of a mavi fall down, you're not allowed to continue using it even that Shabbos? Elo de listenu le mechitzes, because bottom line, I don't have the mechitzes, I don't have the partitions that you need in order to carry. What's the difference? What happened when Shabbos came in? Hocha, but in the case of these weak walls that you encircled in an open field and you're using these walls, then when Shabbos comes in, Hacha isnu lemechitzeis, I have the walls, either Shesi or Oriv, they're weaker type of walls, the walls exist. It's just a question of how much space are you giving me to use within these walls, because they're weak walls, therefore, if I'm a single person, you only gave me 2 saw. If we're 3 people, you gave us more. But since the walls are there, it would make sense to say that since at the onset of Shabbos, I was allowed to carry within these walls, therefore I can continue carrying there the whole Shabbos, even though the number of people, the residents in these walls, went down on Shabbos. That means don't compare a decrease in number of residents to the breaking of a wall, which without walls you're not allowed to carry anywhere. Rav Yitzchok Omar, Rav Yitzchok says, Anod Omra Filil Rav Yehuda. Rav Yitzchok says that the number of residents at any given moment on Shabbos determines, then of course he can hold, like Rav Yosi, who says that the walls that fell down on Shabbos, the moment the walls fall down, you're no longer allowed to carry there. That goes without saying he can follow Rav Yosi. But he says, I can even follow Rav Yehuda. Adkan Leika Omar Rav Yehuda Hasam. Over there in the case of the walls, Rav Yehuda said that since when Shabbos came in, you were allowed to carry in this bayis, in this chotzer, in this mavui, the isnu l'diurin, since the residents didn't change, and when Shabbos came in, these residents were all allowed to carry there, even though the structures of the walls fell down and changed, you can continue carrying there for the rest of that Shabbos. But hocha, in the case of the area that's encircled in the field, and you're using these weak walls, where there you can only carry there if assuming you have X amount of residents. Hocha listnu l'diurin. At the end of the day, the number of residents changed, and therefore the conditions changed. If you have 3 people, you're allowed to carry in more. If you have 2 people, you're only allowed to carry in a smaller area. And therefore, since there's a difference between the walls falling down, but having all the residents there, and the changed number of residents, therefore, I, Reb Yitzchok, can even follow Reb Yehuda. Continues the Gemara. V'chachomim oimrim echod mishnei dvorim. If we were to go back to our Mishnah, we'll see that the Mishnah was split into two. We had one Mishnah about these weak walls of either just Shesi or just Oriv. And then it says, B'shayora dibru divrei Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda says you're only allowed to use these type of walls if you're shayora, if you're camping out in an open field. Chachomim oimrim, loy dibru b'shayora elo b'hoive. Even when you're in a residential area, even if you're not in an open field, and technically speaking, theoretically, you could make normal walls, even there we allow you to use these weak walls. And then the Mishnah went on to the next stage of the Mishnah. Kol mechitza she'eino shel shesi v'erev. Any wall which is a weak wall, which means it does not have also a shesi, also erev, eino mechitza. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not considered a mechitza at all. And here the Chachomim again argue and say, echod mishnei dvorim. Either shesi or erev is a good mechitza. Now the Gemara is going to ask, the 2 Chachomims are saying exactly the same thing, that either shesi or erev, it's a weak wall, and there's no restrictions. You can use it whenever you want and wherever you want. Why does the Mishnah have to tell it to us twice? Says the Gemara, Hainu Tanakama. Answers the Gemara, Ika binayu yochid b'yishuv. There is a machlokes, an unspoken machlokes between the 2 Chachomims in the Mishnah regarding a single person, but who's not in an open field. He's not outside deserted. He's in the yishuv, in a town, in a city, in a place which is populated. So over there, in the first case of the Mishnah, over there, Reb Yehuda said, "B'shayora dibru." You're only allowed to use these walls if you're a shayora, if you're a group of 3 people, and you're outside in an open area in an unpopulated place. And there, the Chachomim said, commenting on Reb Yehuda, they said, "Lo dibru b'shayora ella b'hoive." Even if you're not a shayora, even if you're not a group of 3 people, you're just 1 person, if you're outside in an unpopulated place, you're allowed to rely on these walls. So the first Chachomim said that an individual can only rely on these weak walls if you're outside in an unpopulated area. When it comes to Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda, the Chachomim at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda is talking about kol mechitza she'eino shel shesi v'erev. It doesn't matter if it's in a populated or in a not populated area, Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's a weak wall, you're never allowed to use it. These Chachomim say, you are allowed to use it. So these Chachomim hold that even in a populated area, a single person is allowed to rely on these weak walls. And that's what it means, that b'yochid, b'yishuv, a single person in a populated area, there's a machlekas between the two Chachomims if you're allowed to rely on a weak type of wall. Continues the next Mishnah. Arba dvorim potru b'machaneh. If you have an army camp, and we're not talking about milchemes mitzvah, like in the time of Yeshua ben Nun, where there was the wars were mitzvahs. We're talking about all the milchomas after that, which are milchemes rashus. They were wars that were permitted, but they were not mitzvahs. So the Mishnah says there were four things that the Chachomim said that regular people have to do, that the army do not have to do. Number one, mevi'in eitzim mikol mokim. If they need wood, they can take wood from anyone's fields. Wherever they want, they can collect some woods. Even though it's from somebody else's field. If you're not an army, you can't just go into somebody else's field and take some wood. The army are allowed to. The second halacha, upturin merechitzas yadayim. We know that when we eat a meal, we wash netilas yadayim at the beginning of the meal, and we wash mayim achroinim at the end of the meal. Some type of rechitzas yadayim, the Gemara is going to discuss which one, this army is potter. Umidumai, we know that when one buys produce, fruits, vegetables from an Amoretz, we're not sure, did he take all the trumas or maizes properly? So a regular person, we tell them, you buy fruits, vegetables from an Amoretz, you have to take maizah just to be safe. The army, however, it's only midrabon. On minatayra, you can rely on the majority of Amoretz that do take trumas and maizes. Well, the Chachomim said, if you're an army, then you do not need to take trumas and maizes, you can eat demai. Umile Arif. There's a certain type of Eruv. We know there's different types of Eruvs. There's Eruv Echatzeris. If you want to carry within a Chatzah, you want to carry between Chatzeris. You make an Eruv, you can carry. There's another type of Eruv called Eruv Tchumin. If you want to carry outside the city more than 2,000 Amos, you put down an Eruv before Shabbos comes in, and then you can carry walk 2,000 Amos beyond that Eruv. So one of these types of Eruv, the army are potter, and we'll see in the Gemara which one. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbonon. We learnt in the Braisa, Machane Ayotzes L'Milchemes Arushus. An army camp that's going out to Milchemes Rushus, Mutorin Begezel Eitzim Yuveshim. They're allowed to, so to speak, steal dry woods, even though the owners of these woods may well have used these woods for firewood. The army are allowed to take it. The army are allowed to camp wherever they want, even in somebody's private property. Normally you can't go and camp in somebody's private property without permission. The army were allowed to camp wherever they wanted. Another halacha says this braisa, says Rabbi Yehuda ben Teima, ubemokim shein neharogin shom nikvorin. If a soldier dies at war, wherever he's found, you're allowed to take that place and turn it into his burial place. You don't need to move him anywhere else. You shouldn't move him anywhere else. Wherever he fell, that's where you bury him. Even if it's in somebody else's rishus, nobody can stop you. Says the Gemara, we're going to discuss this now. Mutorin begezel eitzim yuveshim. We just saw in the Braisa that the army, the camps, are allowed to take even the dry woods that belong to private people, that belong to people, the army are allowed to take it. Says the Gemara, are you telling me this is a takona, this is a special leniency with people going out to war? Haitakanta di Yeshua hava. Already from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, when he came into Eretz Yisrael, this was one of the halachas. The Omar Mar, we learned, Asoro Tnoim Hisno Yeshua. There were 10 conditions when Yeshua ben Nun came into Eretz Yisrael at the very first, after they came out of Mitzrayim, after 40 years in the desert, they came into Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua ben Nun straight away said, 10 halachas, you're coming into Eretz Yisrael on the following conditions, on the following understandings. One of them was, Sheyu Marin Bechirshin. Any person is allowed to allow his animals to pasture in any wooded areas of his friend. A typical wooded area is not an area that you cut down, that you harvest, and therefore my animals will not ruin your wooded area. So we come into Eretz Yisrael with the understanding that anybody will be allowed to pasture in your wooded areas. And another condition that he made, umelaktin eitzin misadosim, that anybody is allowed to collect woods from his friend's field. So this was not a leniency for the army when they first came into Eretz Yisrael. This was a condition right from the start. Answers the Gemara, hasam behizmi vehigi. Over there, when Yeshua ben Nun came in and he allowed people to take woods from other people's fields, he didn't mean you can take any woods, anything that's growing. He meant only hizmi vehigi, which are thorns and thistles. There, people generally don't need them, don't care about them. So those you can take. Hocha b'shar eitzim, any other woods you can't take. That's why the Mishnah says, and the Brisa said, if you're an army, the army are allowed to take even other woods. Inami or hosam b'muchoborin, over there we're talking about when Yeshua ben Nun said that you can take woods from other people's fields, or whatever you can take, it's when they're still attached to the ground, because the owners haven't shown an interest in those woods, and therefore somebody else can take them. Hocha b'tlushin, however, if the owners have already cut down these woods, then normally nobody's allowed to take those woods. The army are allowed to even take the woods that have been cut down. Inami or hasam balachin. Over there we're talking about where the woods that are being collected are damp, and damp woods cannot be used for firewood, and therefore anybody can take them. Hocha b'yaveshim, here it says explicitly even the dry woods, which can be used for firewood. So normally a person is not allowed to take wood that potentially could be used for firewood from his friend's fields. The army, however, are even allowed to take the dry woods. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Teima oimer af choinin b'chol mokim. The Rabbi Yehuda ben Teima added on some more leniencies for the army. Number one, they can camp wherever they please. Number two, b'mokim shenerogin shom nikborin, wherever a soldier falls, that becomes his burial place. Says the Gemara Pshita, of course anywhere a soldier falls, you're allowed to bury him. Why is it different to any mes mitzvah? Any mes mitzvah, and we'll soon see what a mes mitzvah is, but a mes mitzvah is somebody who, there's nobody to care for him. This is a lone soldier, he's fallen, he's a mes mitzvah. Every mes mitzvah, nothing to do with the army. Any mes mitzvah, you bury him exactly where he's found. Or mes mitzvah, koine mekoime, we know there's a global rule. Any mace mitzvah, a mace that has nobody to care for his burial, is buried wherever he's found, says the Gemara Loi. No, it's not a question. Tzricha, Yehuda ben Teima's halacha does have a place. Afal gav de islei koivrin. What's a mace mitzvah? Somebody who has nobody to care for his burial needs. Over here we're talking about even a soldier that does have somebody to care for his burial needs. So he's not a typical mace mitzvah. Nonetheless, regarding the army, wherever the soldier fell, that's where you bury him. The Tanya, Ezo mes mitzvah. We saw in the Braisa, what is the definition of a mes mitzvah? Kol she'ein lo kovrin, if there's nobody to bury him. And then one of the leniencies of mes mitzvah is even a kohen who's not allowed to ever make himself tomei to a dead person. If he sees a mes mitzvah, he has to deal with the mes mitzvah and bury him. In the event that the Kohen could call others to deal with the mes mitzvah and then preventing himself needing to become Tomei, of course, ain't there mes mitzvah, then this is not a mes mitzvah that requires a Kohen to become Tomei. The Kohen should not become Tomei. But either way, we see here that mes mitzvah is only if there's nobody there to take care of the burial. So that's what the Gemara answered, that the soldiers that fall, even if there's somebody to take care of the burial, the leniency of the army is wherever a soldier falls, you can bury him. Ask the Gemara, mes mitzvah koine mekoime? Is it true that a mes mitzvah, wherever a person dies, if there's nobody to deal with, to take care of the burial, he has the status of a mes mitzvah, you bury him wherever you find him? This seems to contradict a braisa, v'otanya. Hamoitzi meis mutl besratya. If a person finds a dead person lying in a main road, mefanehu, you move the dead person liyamina stratia or lismoila stratia, either to the edge of the main road on the right or the edge of the main road on the left. What happens if on one side of the main road you have a stabur, you have a private person, and he has a field that's fallow, a field that has not been ploughed or sown? Or stay near, and on the other side of the main road you have a field that's been ploughed. Then mefaneu lesdeibur, then move this corpse and bury it in the field which has not been ploughed, rather than going to the field that's been ploughed, and you're causing more damage that way. Stay near Ustei Zera. If you have one field that's been ploughed and another field that's been sown, then Mefaneu Lestei Nir. Then rather move the corpse to a field that's just been ploughed and not to the field that's already been sown. Hoyu Shteim Nirois, if both fields have been ploughed, Shteim Zrois, or both of them have been sown, or Shteim Burois, or both of them are fallow, both of them have not been worked with at all, that means the right-hand field and the left-hand field are the same. Mefaneu lekol ruach sheyirtze, you can move the mace to the mace mitzvah to any side that you choose. But what do we see from here? That you're allowed to move the mace mitzvah. We don't say if you find the mace mitzvah in the main road, bury him where you found him. Answers the Gemara, Omer of Bivi, Hacha b'meis hamutal al hametzar oskinon. We're talking here about a dead person that is spread out in the main street from side to side. It's obviously not such a wide main street. And from one side to the next, if you're going to bury the person there, there's going to be a kever in the middle of the main road. Anyone who's going down this main road is going to become tomei for going over a dead person or going over a grave. A kohen, any kohen that goes down this road will become tomei. And therefore, we move the mace to the side, and the discussion is to which side. Once we say don't bury him where he is, we say move him to any side you want or to the side that's going to cause the least damage. But in the case where he's not going to disrupt the entire Roshus Arabim, he's not going to disrupt the entire main road, then you bury the person, the Meis Mitzvah, exactly where you find him. Continues the Gemara, Omar Abaye, Upturin Merchitzas Yodayim, one of the things that we saw in the Mishnah is that the army are potter from washing their hands. So Omar Abaye, Lo Yishonu Elo Mayim Rishonim, that's only true regarding Mayim Rishonim, where washing one's hands before one eats is a Chiyuv Midrabanon, as we saw in the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Shabbos. And the Chachomim said that the army can be lenient, they can eat food even if they don't have water to wash their hands. Aval mayim achroinim, but the water is washing one's hands at the end of the meal, choyva, even the army are mechuyev to wash their hands. Omer b'chia bar ashi mipemneima, omru mayim achroinim choyva. Why do we say that the washing the hands before birchas hamazon at the end of a meal is choyva? Mipnei shemelach stoimis yesh, because there's a concept called salt from Sodom. Shemesameh esayinayim, if you touch a little bit of the melach sodomis and then you touch your eyes, it can cause a person to become blind. So it's not a leniency in some halacha, it's dangerous. And therefore, we do not give, there's no room for leniency and they have to wash their hands. Omar Abaya said, umishtakcha kukurta, even a tiny bit of this melach stoimis can be found bakura in a huge, in a very large, relatively large amount, a kur of salt. And that's how little amount of salt of Sodom can already be dangerous. And since people, back in the days anyway, they used to touch this salt during the meal or at the end of the meal, therefore at the end of the meal they have to wash their hands. Tosfos brings that nowadays, people don't do Mayim Achroinim either because we don't have Melach Sodomis today or because people do not commonly touch salt after they eat. And it's brought down, it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. Omar Le'erv Acha B'rei D'Rova Le'erv Ashi Kail Milcha Mai. Some use measuring salt. He wants a certain measure of salt, he goes to the big heap of salt and he's the pile of salt and he's measuring it out. Does he have to wash his hands? Omer le, ha loy mi boya. If even the tiny amount of salt of melach stoimis that may have got to your hands at the end of a meal, we already say it's a chiyuv, even for the soldiers, it's a chiyuv for mayim achroinim. Of course, if you're measuring out salt, you have a chiyuv to wash your hands afterwards. Continues the Gemara, umidmai, we saw in the Mishnah that one of the halachas that the soldiers can be lenient with is regarding eating demai. Eating food that's fruits or vegetables that have been bought from an amoretz that we don't know if he took trumas and maestros. Titnan, says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, ma'achilin es ha'aniyim demai, one is allowed to feed poor people with demai, versus achsanya demai, one's also allowed to feed the army with demai. Omer funa, tona, Rav Huna says we learnt in a brayso that it's actually machlokes beis Shammai and beis Hillel. Beis Shammai omrim ein machilin esaniim demai vesachsanu demai. Beis Shammai are stringent and say you're not allowed to give demai not to the poor people and not to the soldiers. Beis Hillel omrim machilin esaniim demai vesachsanu demai. Beis Hillel say you are allowed to give the poor people and the soldiers demai. And Tosfos asks, What are we coming to say with this brayso, or are we just trying to introduce an opposite opinion of Beis Shammai? Since when does Beis Shammai's opinion have any halachic ramifications whatsoever? Tosfos discusses that. Continues the Gemara, Umil Arev, one of the leniencies of the army, is of the soldiers, is that they do not need to make an Eruv. Which Eruv? We're only talking about Eruv Chatzeris. To carry within a Chotzer, you need to make an Eruv Chatzeris. To carry from one Chotzer to the next, you need an Eruv Chatzeris. Avon Eruv Tchumin Chayovin. But to carry, to walk, even without carrying, to walk more than 2,000 Amos out of the place that you are when Shabbos comes in, which is either Dalad Amos, where you were positioned when Shabbos came in, or if you were in a town, the whole town is considered your Dalad Amos, and you can walk 2,000 Amos beyond that, but not more. You want to walk more than that, you have to put an Eruv, you have to, so to speak, be positioned, be resting when Shabbos comes in, be resting at the point of 2,000 Amos from the city, and then you can walk till there, and from that place, another 2,000 Amos in any direction. We'll learn more about those halachas later on in Maseches Eruvin. But Eruv Tchumin, even the soldiers, if they want to walk more than 2,000 Amos out of the town, they have to make an Eruv Tchumin. There's no leniencies for them. The Tony Reb Chia, because it's explicit in the Braisa, Loikin al Eruv Tchumin Dvar Torah. The need to make an Eruv Tchumin, the Issa to walk 2,000 Amos outside the town, is an Issa Doiraisa, it's Issa Min HaTorah. We can't let the soldiers transgress that. Eruv Chatzeris, which is only a Chiyuv Derabbanon, because biblically speaking, every Chatzah is Rosh HaYochid. To carry within Rosh HaYochid, even though it belongs to a number of people, to carry from one Rosh HaYochid to another Rosh HaYochid, even though each Rosh HaYochid belongs to different people, Min HaTorah is no issue. The Chachomim didn't want you to get confused between that and Rosh HaRabim. They said, make an Eruv Chatzeris. So there the Chachomim can say, with the soldiers will be lenient. But Eruv Tchumin is a chiyuv min haTorah. There's no room for any leniencies. Maskif lo Rav Yechonon. Rav Yechonon is asking, you just said now that for Eruv Tchumin, if somebody transgresses Eruv Tchumin, which means he walks more than 2,000 Amos without making an Eruv Tchumin, he'll get Malkus. It's a chiyuv min haTorah. V'chiloiken alav shaba'al, any lav, a mitzvah loisasech, an isur, that the Torah, the term the Torah uses to transgress it is not loy, it's al, don't. Are you telling me that you get malchus? Because where do we learn that you're not allowed to go outside the tchum? From the pasuk that says, al yetze yish mimekoymoy, al yetze, a person should not go outside from the place that he was when Shabbos came in. That was of Yechanon's question. Maskif Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is asking, "Ela me'ato d'chsiv al tifnu ela oivos ve'ela yidoinim." There's another pasuk that says "al" regarding certain practices of magic and sorcery, where it's seriously osa. And the Torah also says "al tifnu ela oivos ve'ela yidoinim." Hachanami d'leiloki? Do you really believe that there's a rule that says that any issa that the Torah uses the word "al" is you don't get Malkus? The fact that it says Al, so what? Al is exactly the same as Loi, you do get Malkus. So what was Rabbi Yonason's question? I said Rabbi Yonason before, I meant Rabbi Yonason. What was Rabbi Yonason's question? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yonason hoche kashile. What Rabbi Yonason actually meant was the following question. Lav shenitin las horas misas beizdin. This word, the words in the pasuk, Al yetze ish mimekoymei b'yema shvi. Don't go out of your place on Shabbos. What does that mean? So we assumed till now that it's talking about going outside the tchum. Well, it's also talking about going from Rosh HaYochid to Rosh HaRabim and from Rosh HaRabim to Rosh HaYochid. Carrying, not only walking outside without carrying, walking outside the tchum, it's even carrying from one Rosh to the other is also learnt from there. And if you carry from one Rosh to the other, there's a you're going to be chayiv misa. It's one of the lametes melachos, hamoitzi mirushus lirushus. And any lav that's been written in order that also warns us about isurim, that if somebody transgresses them, Beis Din will kill him, then even though that lav may incorporate other isurim, they will never ever be able to give malchus based on that lav. That's what Bienesen was asking. Lav shenitin lazharas misas Beis Din. Since this lav of Al-Yetze ish memekoyim b'yei meshvi is also warning about a lav which has misa, if so, even though using it for going outside the tchum, and that's not one of the lametes melachos, and he'll not have chiyuv misa, but you won't get malchus for it. That was Rabbi Yonason's question. Because the rule is that v'chol lav shenitin azoras misas Beis Din, any lav that was used as a warning to somebody who's going to be being chayev an avera that he can get misa, ein leiken alav, we never use that lav just for malchus. Omer Rav Ashi answered, miksiv al yotzi. The pasuk there doesn't say al yotzi, don't carry, don't take something out from one rishus to the other, which indeed is one of the lametes melachis, and you as chiyuv misa. Al yotzi is talking about ksiv. It's talking about you going out yourself without carrying. The pasuk is not talking about carrying something from one rishus to the other. It's called you going out yourself from beyond the 2,000 amos, and that's never Azoras Misas Beis Din. You never get killed for doing that. It's not one of the Lametes Melachos. And therefore we can use this Pasuk to say that you get Malchus. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Hadron Aloch, Mavui, B'Siyata Deshmai, we finished Perek Mavui, the first Perek in Maseches Erevin. Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to start the second Perek, Perek Oisin Pasin.